By the will of God, we come this morning to invite your attention to a portion of the psalm found in Psalm 32, verses 1 through 5. It reads as follows. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. For I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my groanings all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. And we want to think with you this morning from the words confession for healing and health. Confession for healing and health. Let me read a paraphrase of what I just read. What happiness for those whose guilt has been forgiven. What joy when sins are covered over. What relief for those who have confessed their sins and God has cleared the record. There was a time when I wouldn't admit what a sinner I was, but by this, my dishonesty made me miserable and filled my days with frustration. All day and all night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength evaporated like water on a sunny day. Until I finally admitted all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. I said to myself, I will confess them to the Lord, and you forgave me all my sins, and all my guilt is gone. Amen. Confession for healing and health. One of the most intriguing subjects in modern medicine is the subject of psychosomatic medicine. The word psychosomatic comes from the Greek word psychic, meaning mind, and soma, meaning body. And so psychosoma or psychosomatic deals with the aspect of medicine that is considering the relationship of the mind to the body and the ability of our mind to inflict illness in our body. Some years ago, a Christian doctor, Dr. McMillan, wrote a book, None of These Diseases. And in this book, he had a chapter entitled, It's Not What You Eat, It's What Eats You. And I recall he made the statement that some doctors have estimated that as high as 60 to 80% of all illnesses are caused by a state of mind initially. And as he went on to explain it, as I understand it, I'll try to explain to you, that there's a fact that your state of mind affects your physical condition. You know that when you are frightened, that your body secretes adrenaline into your bloodstream that enables you to have the necessary extra strength to run or fight or whatever you may need to do. That's a natural God-given reaction. He pointed, just like that happens, there are certain other emotions in your life that cause the body to make certain secretions. But he pointed out that negative emotions that produce these kind of physical reactions, if they are continued over a period of time, they can have an adverse effect upon the body, and then other conditions take over. But long before modern medicine became aware of the whole business of psychosomatic medicine, the Word of God has said that a joyous spirit is like good medicine, but a down, frowning, and an evil spirit is like dries up the bone. In other words, a long time ago, before modern medicine got on, the Word of God made it unmistakably clear that there is this connection between the physical, the mental, and the spiritual, because man is one unit. And you cannot be spiritually bent out of shape, physically bent out of shape, and spiritually upright. They are vitally connected. Our text today is taken from an experience of David. Around the time when David had his episode with Bathsheba. You will remember that David committed not only adultery, but in an attempt to cover up his foul deed, he went on to commit murder. When David was convicted of his sin, he asked God forgiveness. And here we find David kind of giving us a resume, a record of what happened to him. And so as we look at this text, let us first of all look at David's present state. He begins by saying, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. He said, oh, how blessed is the state of the individual who is conscious of no sin. Not as a matter of covering up, not as a matter of deceiving himself, but one who has dealt with the matter of sin, the sin has been forgiven, and he lived in a present state, basking, as it were, in the sunshine of God's favor. David said that's a blessed state. In making this statement, David brings to my mind the words of the poet. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Now, these are beautiful words to sing, but have you really thought about it? That we are saying that as far as my relationship with God, there is nothing between. And to sing that, it means that you have had to have the willingness to deal with all that might stand between you and God. That you've been willing to let the Holy Spirit take you by the hand and walk down the corners of your own soul. Look under the rug, peep in every corner, every dark area of life, and deal with it and get it clean. Now you can stand in the presence of a thrice holy God and hear God say, no charge. Innocent. This is what David is talking about. Now, my dear, you understand and you know how good you feel when you've done something noteworthy or worthwhile, and your friends, your loved ones, your peers hold your high esteem, and they sing your praise, they congratulate you, honor you, and you just kind of feel good. It gives you a lift, you know, because you just feel good about yourself and about those around you. But just imagine how infinitely more important it is to be able to have a relationship with God. Not where I have a sneaking suspicion that God's got something against me. Not where I'm ashamed to come in his presence. But being able to know that I can stand in the face of the thrice holy God and hear him render the sentence, no charge. This is what David is talking about. What a blessed state. A blessed state. There are many people who cannot greet their friends or their neighbors or people that they come in contact with. Why? Because there's something there, you see. I don't like you, or something about you that upsets me or disturbs me, or there's something wrong that you did me, or I thought you did, or I don't like you, whatever reason. And so we don't like to meet those people, you see. We don't like to face up to them. And when we come in their presence, we get out as soon as we can. One of the reasons many people have no need for prayer, they can't take preaching too much, too long, because it makes them conscious that the sin is there. There's something between. But David has said, my state is exact opposite of that. There is nothing between my soul and my Savior. Oh, what a blessed state that must be. Now, let me relate to you again something I told you before that I think has a lot of bearing on this. Some years ago, when I was involved with Campus Crusade, we had a meeting in San Bernardino, California. And at the close of one session, they had what they called the quiet time. And everybody had to go away by themselves, no radio, no television, no nothing. And they said, you just sit there by yourself, open to God. And whatever comes to your mind in terms of your own sinfulness, write it down. I've never heard anything like that, you know. I was trained, like most of us, you know, you commit the sin one by one in great detail, sometimes with malice aforethought. But then we say, okay, God, forgive our sin. We love them all together. We love forgive us real quick. Like we're going to run by that on this agenda. But they talk about deal with them individually. And they say, you don't have to pray, Lord, if you find anything. The Holy Spirit's job is to reveal sin. You just be sealed and open. And he'll bring everything you need to deal with to your conscience. So we went away, and it didn't sound too difficult when a man was saying it, but my dear, alone and by yourself, writing down your sins and calling by the right name, one of the most painful experiences I've ever had to the flesh. You know, if you over admire a young lady, they say write it down, adultery. You know, call it by the right name. Now nobody else is looking over your shoulder, and God already knows it. But it's difficult to write your own sin and call it by the right name. And once having submitted to that kind of spiritual discipline, you see, because the Bible says the Holy Spirit reveals the sin, and when we confess our sins, they say, now we get them all down. When the Holy Spirit stops bringing stuff to your mind, you stop writing. And then you, according to 1 John 1:9, you own up to it. If he said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
You just own up to it. And on the basis of the word of God, he cleanses. And my dear, when I got up from that, just as painful as it were, I felt 10 pounds lighter, and it seemed like everything was clearer.
I've made it a regular practice of my life. Every now and then I need to get a house cleaned. You just can't deal with your sin one by one and all of a sudden lump up together Sunday morning and say, Lord, forgive us our sin. You deal with it. David had dealt with it.
He had owned up to it. And he said, oh, how blessed to say.
But now, David didn't always feel that way. Let us move on to see not David's present condition, but his past situation. David said, when I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture turned into the drought of summer.
David said, now we don't know how long David remained in an unrepentant state.
He was involved with Bathsheba, then he conspired to kill her husband, and then it was some time before David. We don't know how long that period was.
But during that time, David was in a state where he was trying to cover up.
He was trying to conceal and not deal with his sin. And David describes what happened, and he said, when I kept silent, something happened, not just spiritually, but physically. My bones were old.
He said, I was miserable all day long.
Now, David is talking about psychosomatic matters. He was saying that my moisture, my energy, I didn't have no get up and go, no zip. It was like the dew on a hot summer day. The sun comes out in the heat, it tires up.
I had trouble functioning and getting through the day.
Now, my dears, on the basis of what Jesus and David is saying here, let us consider some things that we need to deal with ourselves. Now, what David is saying here, let me first of all say this. There is legitimate illness. You know, this body is not perfect. We didn't come here to live forever. Something wrong with all of us. And many of us at that age when a lot of breaks down and a lot of things wrong with us.
But laying that aside,
there's also an area of things that we need to deal with that are mental and spiritual in origin but have physical consequences. When you are always tired And it's not because you got low blood and not eating right. You need to examine that.
When you're not happy, there's no joy, and you don't have any energy, you find yourself hypocritical of everything.
You've got a negative on everything. I'll tell you one of the saddest things that really weighs heavy in your heart. Sometime in the service when God's Spirit drops by and in the distance of the congregation, everybody is rejoicing, and there's somebody come up. They wasn't even on.
They missed it. They could not rejoice. They were not lifted up in the Spirit. Why? Something was in between their soul and their Savior.
Irritable. Can't stand this, can't take that, everything get on your nerves.
People can sit in a service and just a whole set of beautiful singing, fervent prayer, halfway decent sermon.
And you know.
Something wrong.
Something between you. And he's giving on one little thing. Well, you know, I didn't like that. I didn't look over a thousand good things, fantastic.
This is what David described. He said, well, when I tried to keep silent, I was ill, I was sick. I didn't have the strength, I didn't have the film and vitality because the state of my soul, my sin, was affecting my body. Somebody else, you need to look at that because, you see, there are many people
going to the doctor that the doctor can't do anything for.
Many people going to the doctor paying money that the doctor can't help.
And folks paying exorbitant fees for stressed out on psychologist couches. The problem is deeper than that. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about righteousness exalts the nation and sins reproach any people. And at that time, we tried to make the point that if you make a faulty diagnosis, you'll always make the wrong prescription. I mentioned the trustee who was in the hospital being treated by doctors getting worse and worse because they made the wrong diagnosis. They were treated for the wrong thing. There are many people because they fail to understand this, what the Word of God is saying. They're constantly making wrong diagnoses. Well, you know, I just all kind of little frivolous excuses. Why I can't do what God wants me to do. Why I can't somehow rejoice and sit in and move along. Why I'm always sad and pessimistic and downbeat. Why I'm irritable and don't have me to get up and go.
You cannot treat a spiritual problem with physical medicine. Peace does not come in a bottle of tea. Contentment is not in capsules. Joy and satisfaction cannot be shot in your arm
in the bloodstream with an eagle.
Spiritual in origin.
But if we insist upon holding our sins like David, David did this thing under the cloak of darkness. He conspired with Joab to have the man killed. Nobody knew it. He got away clean. You know, it was kept out. David dressed up in his kingly honor and went through the procedure he used to go through. But something was missing.
Went to church and the choir somehow just didn't please him. Heard the preacher prophesy, somehow he just was not blessed by the message. When he got down to prayer, sometimes it seemed like the heaven was praying, he couldn't get through. There was something between.
See, God is concerned about the health and the healing of his people. I don't mean this, you know, this healing kind of stuff, you know, putting his hand on your head and you well and all that. I'm talking about holistic health. I told you before, these old bodies are going to break down with something. But there are many things we don't have to deal with. Oh, what needless pains we bear.
Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And when we carry that, we don't be honest with God. Lord, I wish you would help this and change that and do the other. And old folk used to say, it's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. That's where you need to start.
God is concerned about all of you. And one of the saddest things in the world is to see Christians living under their possession. You know, God has this intended for you, and you're living down here on bread and crackers when God has steaks and potatoes on the menu for you. Because of that little sin, that little something between you, those negative emotions can eat you up. They'll kill you. Days become long. Every task becomes burdensome. See, the thing that enables you to stand and withstand the storm and the struggle of life is the joy of the Lord, is our strength. See, you can deal with the externalities when I got the internal of it. Came out. When there's nothing between my soul and the Savior, and I got that contentment, that deep abiding satisfaction, then I can count this. To live, David said, now David wouldn't mention it at the time, but later on he's looking back now, he says, for day and night thy hand was heavy. See that?
God's hand was heavy upon him.
Many people, you know, God sees his hand is heavy upon them. But if you are a child of God, you can never live contented outside the will of God. Now, you can struggle along and fake it and try to, you can't make it. It breaks down somewhere. It breaks down. This is what David is saying. When I tried to cover my sin, it did something to me, not only mentally, spiritually, but physically. And there are many people taking medicine, they really got a God problem. You need to go somewhere and cry out unto God. Lay it out! God's forgiveness. You'll feel 100% better and 10 times lighter. But sin is a heavy weight to carry. It drags on you.
Oh, my dears. If I had got as eloquent, if I could plead with you, if I could appeal to you to say you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Listen to David. David said the turning point came in his life. The turning point came when he said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid.
David said, I came clean. I didn't try to hide. I didn't try to hold back. I let it out.
When I acknowledged my sin, God forgive me. Listen. Let's go back and read that. If you got your Bible, you may want to turn to the 12th chapter, 2 book of Samuel, and listen what he says. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. David's anger was greatly kindled against the man,
And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. He shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And the prophet stood up and said, King, thou art the man.
You see, when he recounted this unjust act, notice how David overreacted. The law requires he should use four, period. Not that he died. But you see, people who are suffering on the weight of their own sin cannot be
generous.
They're hard on folk because of their own pressure of the sin of their own soul. David, he shall die.
That wasn't what the law said. It just required restoration fourfold. Under the pressure of his own sin, he was overdoing it. Then David said,
Where is it? I want to get it.
The preacher says, you're the man.
May I pause a moment to say this parenthetically? As the Lord said to the prophet Isaiah, cry aloud, spare not. Show my people their sin. See, that's the gist.
To show people where they've come short, that they might move in the direction of getting together to meet God. Not like the town crier who cries at 11 o'clock and all is well. But show them their sin.
See, human nature, it will always take a good point.
Yeah, if I say right now, you know, many of you are failing your church covenant by not supporting evening worship immediately, but I'm here Sunday morning.
If I suggest you ought to come to prayer meeting, but I'll pay my money.
You see, we have always automatically focused on our sound point, our good point. But to stand before God, you need to deal with the whole thing. And so the preacher has to call attention to where we fall short.
We automatically focus on our strong points. We don't need to step on that. It's our weakness.
So when the prophet pointed his finger and said, David,
thou art the man.
Now David being the king could have had him thrown out the palace, beheaded, or put in jail.
And again, I need to say at this point, there are many people in the face of their own sinfulness on the way. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. Look what he did. Yeah, look what he did. But look how he reacted when he was convicted.
See, you will see in your heart to this.
And somebody in there, anybody see anything about it?
When David was confronted, he surrendered.
This is what he says in verse 18. David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the sin the Lord has put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die.
You see, immediately upon confession, he was forgiven.
Oh, my dear,
if I were preach enough to have you understand that there is nothing you can do with sin. You can't hide it, you can't excuse it, you can't explain it away, you can't justify it.
Old folk used to say sin is like being in the bed with cover too long and bed too short. You cover up the head, the feet stick out. You cover the feet, your head is out.
There is no great way to deal with sin. There's only one thing to deal with it, and that is to confess it.
If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness.
As soon as David said, I have sinned, and David didn't have to go back and pray and ask God.
He says, our sins have been forgiven.
And it's that easy, it's that simple. You have to walk around with that load and struggle through the day and hope one day I'll get it straightened out. Faith God honestly over the Lord, I am a sinner. I'm corrupt. I'm a wreck.
Well, you see, confession simply means to agree with God. In the face of your sinfulness and my sinfulness, when the Word of God, when the preacher, when the Spirit of God brings the conviction,
and you begin to excuse, justify, and explain what you're really saying, God, you're not right. You're not right. But see, if you want mercy and forgiveness and the peace and the joy, you have to agree with God and take his side against yourself. So confession simply means to agree with God. Lord, I am all you say I am. I deserve better. I deserve hell. Then you turn over in Psalm 51, you find David saying, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to thy loving of thy tender mercy, blot out my transgressions. When we cry mercy, we're saying, Lord, I know I'm guilty. I deserve the full sentence, but be easy with me. David said, create me a clean heart. Purge me with hyssop. I want to be clean. I'm messed up. I'm corrupt from my mother's womb. I was born in sin and came in iniquity. The Lord created me a clean heart and renew right spirit in me. But then David said, restore unto me the joy. That is the joy. All my days, the joy.
Joy to be sad. Every tarry there, none of us has ever known, but tears blacked out the joy just as the sea blacked out the sunlight from the window.
I would to God that I was able to prevail upon you as children of God to understand that you don't have to try to fake it. It's only through it. God already knows it. And when you confess it to him, you're just agreeing that God, you're right. And as soon as you confess, he forgives. And then you begin to keep short accounts with God. You might get up from prayer, and next 5 minutes, you're conscious of sin, Lord. Deal with it right then. And then you can know what David describes, the blessedness of standing before God with nothing between my soul and my faith. My dear, that's God's desire. That's God's will for you and for me. But it cannot become real unless you openly, honestly deal with the matter of sin by simply owning up to it and confessing it and forsaking it. The reason why you cannot do anything about sin is that everything that can be done for sin has already been done. You see, out on the hill called Calvary, the Son of God died as a common criminal.
And the weight of the world of sin was cast upon him, and he paid the price. He drank the cup to the bitter end. The price has been paid.
Now all you have to do is own up to it that you are a sinner, and you receive the sacrifice that was paid for sinners. It's so simple, you can stumble over simplicity. And as you would stand to sing the hymn of invitation, is our prayer that God may impress the truths into your heart and your mind, that you may see and understand that with the weight of sin, the load of guilt, you don't have to carry it. You can't do anything with it. You simply bring it to Jesus just as you are. Say, Lord, I am a sinner, but forgive me for Jesus' sake. And you can know the joy of being forgiven and basking in the sunshine of God's favor. You will have the consequences in your own life, physically, mentally, and spiritually.